Like Luke said, we are continuing a series that we started a few weeks ago on the Holy Spirit. If you didn't grab one, there are these study guides. They're in the right out those double doors on the round table there. If you want to run, grab one, feel free. You can do that at any time. And it may be helpful just to follow along, just to take notes if you want to think about this in the week ahead, or just go back and look at this. Like I said, this is the third week of the series that we've been doing. And very briefly, the first week we asked the question, who is the Holy Spirit? It's not an it, it's a who, and who is the Holy Spirit? That's how we answered it. The Holy Spirit is God. The Holy Spirit is all of God. And the Holy Spirit is God close to you, intimate with you. And we looked at how God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit are all one entity. They're distinct, and yet they're indistinguishable, which is a little hard sometimes for us to grasp. But the Holy Spirit is all of God. And if we've accepted Christ, if we have been born again, like we talk about in so many different aspects of what you hear here, then God has moved inside and he lives with you. So it's God. The Holy Spirit is God, all of God, close and intimate with you, living with you. The second week, we asked the question, what does the Holy Spirit do? What is the work of the Spirit once it moves in with us? And it does three basic things. It makes us alive, it says. We were dead in our transgressions and sins, separated from God. And the Holy Spirit, when Christ pays the penalty for our sins, if we accept that, the Holy Spirit makes us alive, regenerates us. It says the old is gone, the new has come. Jesus compared it to being born, like when a baby is born, then that life begins. And so the Holy Spirit makes us alive. But the Holy Spirit doesn't just make us alive to go out into the world on our own. It gives us a name. It adopts us. He adopts us into his family. God adopts us into his family through the Spirit, and we carry his name. He says we are his sons and his daughters. We have full rights as heirs in God's household because we're his children. And the third thing that the Holy Spirit does is he walks with us day by day, hour by hour. God the Spirit walks with you, lives your life with you. You live your life in God's presence in real time because of the Holy Spirit. And what that looks like is the Spirit speaks and we listen. We can communicate with God through the Spirit. The Spirit sanctifies. That's one of those big words, but what it means is it gives us a good purpose, sets us aside for a powerful purpose, redirects our life in the way that it should be, sanctifies us, directs us, and so the Spirit leads us and we follow. And finally, the Spirit touches us. God says he understands and feels our emotions, and he interacts with us emotionally. He touches us. We can experience God. This is an experiential thing as well. So that's what we talked about the first 2 weeks. Now, if you think about that, really what we're describing there is a relationship, isn't it? What we're describing is a relationship, that you and I have a relationship with God. And so much of it practically happens through the Holy Spirit. And when you think of a relationship, in any relationship, there are parts to it. And so what happened is that we have become part of God's family, and God lives with us. We've moved in with God. But in that household, God has certain roles, and we have certain roles. So when we talk about this relationship, God's place and God's part is, well, he's the creator. He created the household. He created you and I, and he is the father. If we're using that picture of a household, he's the father. He's the master. He's the one who sets the pace. He is in control. He's the owner, if you will. Jesus says that he's not ashamed to call us brothers, and so he's our brother, but he's the big brother. He's the firstborn. He's the oldest. He's the wisest. He's the strongest. So God's part is that, as the creator, he's our father, our master, our big brother. But we have a part as well, and it follows along with that. We are his children. You and I are the children of God. We are the servants of God. If he's the master, we're the servants. We're the little brother or little sister, if you will. And sometimes, you know, Well, I'll leave it at that. It's good for us to recognize what our place is in this relationship. That's not to denigrate it at all. It's just to recognize that we have a Father. God's the Father. I'm the Son. God's the Master. I'm the servant. Jesus is the big brother. I'm the little brother. And it's helpful just to understand that at the beginning, especially as we begin now in this series to get a bit more practical. All right, what does this look like on a very practical level? And that's what we're going to do today. We're going to talk about the gifts of the Spirit, okay? That's probably a term that you've heard perhaps, or a phrase that you've heard perhaps, this idea of the gifts of the Spirit. And just to give you a heads up, what I see this as is it's a very practical outworking of one of the things that this looks like to have God living inside us, for us to be living and dwelling with God. We've said that the Spirit in us makes a difference. Well, this is one of the very, very practical ways, I guess, or one of the ways that we see that it makes a difference, okay? Guys, are we squared away on the PowerPoint? We're a couple slides behind here. It's possible. There we go. We're moving along. One more. There we go. So, gifts of the Spirit. That's what we're going to talk about today. What are the gifts of the Spirit? And as we get into that, let's just first look at this idea of gifts, try to define what we're talking about there. And there's a couple of verses here we're going to look at. One is in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 4, where it says this. Hebrews 2, 4, it says, God also testified to it by signs, wonders, and various miracles, and gifts of the Holy Spirit distributed according to his will. And so those words, they're gifts of the Spirit and distributed. So there we see it, where the Holy Spirit gives us gift. He distributes gifts to us. That word there, the Greek word, I won't try to pronounce it. It's in here. But basically what it means is to divide up or to distribute amongst, if that makes sense. To divide something up, to distribute something amongst a bunch of people. That's what that word means. And so think about it perhaps in terms of roles in a play, perhaps. Maybe that's an example. Well, we're going to do a play, and there's all of these different roles within the play. All right, Jim, you're going to play the part of Uncle Buck. And Mary, you're going to play the part of Uncle Buck's wife. And Joe, you're going to play the part of their neighbor. Does that make sense? There are roles within a play, and those roles are distributed. This is what I'm going to do. This is what you're going to do. This is what you're going to do. Maybe think about it in terms of, I have all of these cookies, and everybody's going to get one. So I'm going to distribute the cookies amongst you. It's just this idea that the Spirit gives each of us something. He distributes it amongst us. He divides up what he has and gives it to us. So these gifts of the Spirit are distributed to us. But the passage in 1 Corinthians there talks about gifts of the Spirit as well, but it uses a little different word. That's in 1 Corinthians 12:7. It says, now to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. And there the word that is translated manifestation, and it's a little bit different meaning. What the meaning is there is it's an expression or an exhibition of something. It's showing something. So the thought there is that the Spirit is showing himself through us. There's something about God the Spirit that is being revealed through us. Each one of us shows some part of God. God expresses himself. He exhibits part of himself. You could translate that word bring to light or kind of reveal. Ah, this is part of God, and I'm seeing that through the people, through the gifts that God distributes. So if I was going to summarize that, this is how I would define gifts of the Spirit. We can see the work and character of God expressed through us in different ways. The gifts of the Spirit are a way for us to see the work and the character of God. It's shown through us, expressed through us in different ways. Does that make sense? God shows himself through us. We see God in us through the gifts of the Spirit. So, what are the gifts of the Spirit? Well, There's a couple different areas, I think, or a couple different ways we can think about that. Here's the first one. The gifts of the Spirit can be described and are described in the Bible as skills, abilities, and maybe even personality. What are we good at? God has made us good at certain things through the Spirit. In 1 Corinthians 12, verses 8 through 11, I'll just read this. It's kind of a list there of the gifts of the Spirit. It says, well, I read the verse in 7. Now, to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one there is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom. To another the message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another faith by the same Spirit. To another gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To one miraculous powers, to another prophecy, to another distinguishing between spirits, to another speaking a different kind of tongues, and to still another the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he gives them to each one just as he determines. And so you see all of these different things that we can be good at, that we can do, that are gifts of the Spirit. Romans chapter 12 has another list. It's in some ways it's similar, but it's a little different. Romans 12, 6 through 8 says this, we have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it is serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. If it is contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. So we see in both of those places a list of skills or activities that we can do, and it says there that we can do them or we're good at them because God chose to make us that way. In other words, all of those things that we talked about show somehow the work and the character of God, and when God is inside of us through the Spirit, parts of those things begin to come out of us. Parts of those things begin to be seen because I'm good at this. Well, that thing that I'm good at, God made me good at it so that part of God's work, part of God's character could shine out of me, could become seen through me, and the same for you. All of us have these different gifts of the Spirit, things that we are good at, skills, abilities, or personalities, things that we're good at that are part of God and that we can see. Now, there is a lot in there, and it would be, and I think it's important for us to understand, well, if that's true, if I've been given gifts, if I've been given a gift of the Spirit or gifts of the Spirit, to know what that is a good thing. It would be very good and helpful to know what that is. It would be wonderful if we could just walk through those one by one and look at each one and talk about what each one was. That would take quite a while. We're not going to do it now, but I do have a resource for you that I like. This is a little book. I've gone through this a couple of different times. I like it. It's called Discover Your Spiritual Gifts, The Network Way. And it's a... It's easy. There's some self-assessment kind of things in there. There's some talking through what the different gifts might look like. And there's a means for you to begin to try to assess, well, what might my spiritual gifts be? I have this one. There's two more out there. I thought we had more. I apologize. I ordered more. They're on the way. They're going to be here Tuesday. That doesn't help you today. But if you would like one of these, the first three, for $48.95 or for free, just take it. It's free. You can have it. If you don't know what your spiritual gifts are, I would encourage you to grab one of these. There are other assessments out there. This is not, it's not absolute. It just helps you to understand. But for today, we're going to stop there and say that the Holy Spirit makes us good at things. We have skills, we have abilities, and we even have personalities that kind of lead us to do certain things well. What God says is those are from Him. That's on purpose. And the Holy Spirit makes them shine out of us so that we can see God's work, God's character. Now, just a quick thought on that. You and I perhaps might have the same gift, but it might look different, or it might come out in different ways. And I think that's part of God's plan as well. I want to just look at this verse in 1 Corinthians 12, starting with verse 4. Again, 1 Corinthians 12, we'll be there a lot today because that is a passage. It talks a lot about spiritual gifts. But 1 Corinthians 12:4 says there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them in all men. And it's interesting. It uses three different things there. Gifts, service, and workings. I'm going to tell you perhaps an understanding of that verse. This helps me to understand a little bit. And let's do it this way. Let's just take a gift and kind of work through that verse. So say you have the gift of administration. That's one of the gifts that we saw there in those two lists. You have the gift of administration. So I looked up, what does that mean? And this seems like a very good definition. Efficiently organize people or accomplish tasks. I like that. To be able to efficiently organize people or accomplish tasks. People, who thinks they might be good at that here? Come on, yeah, some people do. I'm not. I'm the worst ever. Ask Claire. I'm the worst, or my poor wife, who I'm not good at that. But many of you are. Okay, so that's something that, you know, we can think, oh, that's just kind of the way I am. Well, yeah, it is the way you are. But if you're a Christian, that could be because God has made you that way specifically. Because God does that. That shows part of God's work, part of God's character. I'm going to efficiently organize this people or accomplish this task. So you may have that gift, and the person sitting next to you may have that gift. But there are different ways that gift can be played out. That's what it says. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. Then it says there are different kinds of service. So maybe what that means is this. You have the gift of administration, but there are lots of arenas that you could use that gift in, aren't there? You could do it like Claire. She works in the church office, and so that's an arena where you can use the gift of administration. But maybe your heart is really drawn toward kids' ministry. Maybe that's just really where you're, you know, God has just put that in you as well, where you kind of think about, where do I really feel fulfilled? Where do I really feel like I have a voice? What is it when I think about it that I just get excited about, as opposed to, oh, I got to go do that? Well, maybe for you, it's the area of kids. And so the service, you can take your gift and you can serve with it in that arena, where someone else might take their gift and serve in a different arena. So you're using your gift of administration in the arena that God is stirring in your heart. And I think God stirs our hearts as well to lead us into different places to use our gifts. But then it can get broken down even a little bit more. The last verse says there are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them and all men. So say that you have the gift of administration and your friend has the gift of administration. You're both have a heart for kids' ministry, so you're taking your gift of administration and you're going to use it in that arena. But even there can be distinctions. Maybe one of you just wants to use the gift of administration on Wednesday night, Awana, and what your goal, the way you want to use that is you're on crowd control, and you love having all these kids swarming past you and directing and making sure people get to where they want to be or need to be at the right time. The gift of administration could be used right there in the midst of the chaos. Right, and some people, that just stirs their soul. It's like, yes, I'm an extrovert and I like kids running into me and this is beautiful and I can use my gift of administration in this arena in the midst of the people. Maybe your friend who has the gift of administration and wants to be involved in kids' ministry, the way they use it is Saturday morning when they're making copies. They're making copies for what's going to have to be used the next Wednesday night. Do you see that? Different things. One person's making copies for Awana. One person is organizing the kids. Different workings of the same service. You're both working in the kids' ministry, and the same gift. You both have the gift of administration. I share that just so we can begin to understand a little bit what these things look like, so that if you think, well, I have the gift of whatever, then it has to look this way. No, there are different ways, I think, that it can look. But this book is helpful, I think, and I would encourage you, if you don't know what your spiritual gifts are, perhaps grab one. There'll be more next week. So one of the ways to look at, or one of the ways to define the gifts of the Spirit are here: skills, abilities, personality. There's another way I think we see in the Scripture, and it's this. There are different roles, positions, and functions. I think, that God can give us that are also gifts of the Spirit. In Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 and 12, it says this: "It was He, God, who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers." Now this is another list that is, in fact, if you go through here, those words are used in here. But those are more positions than a specific activity, if you will. Some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some to be pastors and teachers. In 1 Corinthians 12:28, another list or another place where we see some of these spiritual gifts listed out, it says this: "And in the church, God has appointed, first of all, apostles, second, prophets, third, teachers, then workers of miracles, also those having gifts of healing, those able to help others, those with gifts of administration, and those speaking in different kinds of tongues." And so there can be, I think, another way that spiritual gifts can manifest themselves is through roles or functions, activities, roles, positions, things that we do. For example, it says in Acts 28 that the Holy Spirit makes men overseers or pastors in the church. So being a pastor in a church, that's a role. That's a function. It's a specific role that God says, in my church, I need to have pastors. And so the Holy Spirit, it says in Acts 20:28, makes men overseers. I think that's true in some of these other areas as well. I think that the Holy Spirit can make men and women people who can, in essence, help the church function in a different way, to lead, if you will, lead others, to facilitate perhaps the church doing some of the things that it needs to do. For example, it says here, I apologize, there's gremlins in the system. Our soundboard is dying. Either that or Luke is messing with me and he's just turning the volume up and down. I think the soundboard is dying. It lists evangelists here. Now, when you think about that, the gift of evangelism, it could very well, and in fact it often always does, involve a person who has a heart and the ability to share the gospel with others, looking for opportunities, taking those opportunities, recognizing the opportunities to share the gospel, being able to lead a conversation into it, having that heart for it. There is a skill in being an evangelist. But there is also, I think, perhaps a position in the church where I can help the church do this well. I can help people in the church gain the skills so they feel comfortable sharing the gospel. I can make sure that it's something that's on the mind of the pastors. Are we creating opportunities to do it? That's a position, if you will, a function, a role. I think that can define gifts of the Spirit as well. We seem to see it here as we look at these different lists in the Bible of what the gifts of the Spirit are. And if you feel like that is one of your gifts or roles or functions, I would encourage you to come and talk to one of the pastors. I really would. Because if you think, wow, you know, yeah, I'm reading through this and it says that, you know, God gave some to be teachers, some to be evangelists. I just really feel before the Lord that's what maybe I have to offer the church in a bigger way. Come and talk to the pastors. Because if the Spirit is stirring you in that, then all of us benefit from that. So come and talk. One more quick thing about that. Sometimes roles and functions can be fearful, perhaps. Think, well, who am I to do that? Who am I to step up in some kind of a leadership role in the church? I just want to encourage you in this, in 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians 9:8. It says this: "And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work." If God has given you a role, He will also give you the ability to do it, I believe. Or at least He'll give you the tools that you need to accomplish that job. You don't need to be afraid of that. God is able to make His grace to abound to you through the Spirit. If God gives you a role, He can also give you all that you need to abound in that work. So we can have confidence and courage. If this is my gift, if this is my role, if this is my ability, God's going to give me what I need to do it, to use it well, okay? Now, just a quick thought about that. The Spirit gives us gifts, abilities, skills, personalities. We can ask the question, well, how do we know it's the Spirit that's done that as opposed to just that's what I'm good at? Or how do we, you know, yeah, I'm good at administration, but I've been that way since I was, you know, this high. I like to speak publicly. This doesn't make me afraid at all. Some people, you know, being up in front of a crowd is terrifying for me. My mom tells a story when I think I was 13. In our little town, there was something going on, and I emceed it for the whole town. And it's not a big town. It's not like it's Eau Claire, but I wasn't afraid. Just no big deal to me. So that's just always been in me. Well, how do we know that's the Spirit and not just me? Just a couple of thoughts on that. First of all, understand that just you is not you. God made you. God created you. You didn't create yourself. And so some of those gifts of the Spirit could be that God created them in us from the time we were born. This is just how God made you. But when the Spirit comes in you, something happens. He takes that gift and he makes it alive in a way that wasn't before. He sanctifies it and redirects it in a way that it wasn't directed before. I could use my joy of public speaking to try to benefit myself, or God could sanctify it and move it in a different direction. I could do it in my own strength as well as I can do, or God through his Spirit can make me better at it. Maybe it's like if you have a flower in a pot in your house, and it's alive and it's growing, but it's never blooming. It just won't bloom. It's supposed to bloom, it's supposed to have flowers on it, and it never does. Well, if you take it and put it in a different place where now the light is getting on it, maybe all of a sudden that thing begins to bloom. Maybe it's like that, where these things are inside of us, but when the Spirit comes, it brings them alive in a way that they weren't before, and they begin to bloom and blossom. Certainly, we get sanctified. That thing that we're good at, that God made us good at, begins to be directed in a different way through the Spirit. Or some things, I think, can be created new when the Spirit comes. Some of the gifts of the Spirit could be brand new. The Spirit comes and now something is there that wasn't there before. It could be either. I think it could be either. Just a thought as you contemplate, what are my gifts? Maybe it's something you've never been good at before. Maybe it's something you feel like you've been good at forever. Either way, God made you. God wants to take that thing, and he wants to express himself. He wants the world to see his work and his character as that shines out of you, okay? So, that's what the gifts of the Spirit are. How do we respond to that? As we begin to, as God's people, as we begin to recognize, okay, God, you do live inside of me. God, you are there. God, you are showing yourself. Your works, your character is being manifested. It's being exhibited through me. I have a hunger to do this thing, to serve in this way, to fill this role. How do we respond to that? Four quick things. One, we need to accept God's purpose for that gift. This kind of answers the why question. Why are you going to use this gift? And in 1 Peter 4:10, it says, each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. God gave you this gift not for your own personal gain. God gave you this gift to do two things: to serve others and to glorify God. That's why you have this gift. To serve others and to glorify God. He made you this way. This is a gift he has given to you. Our response, our first response, is to say, Lord, this is something you've given to me. It's yours, not mine. So I will use it how you want, and what you're asking me to do with it is to serve others. Each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, being faithful to God the Creator who made you that way, to God the Holy Spirit who is making that gift come alive in you. We serve others. Why do you use the gifts? Why did God give you the gifts? to glorify himself and to bless the people around you. Why did God give you the gifts? To glorify himself, so that people can see him through you, and to help and to serve and to bless the people around you. So if we're going to respond to our spiritual gifts, the first is, I'm going to accept the purpose, God, that you have for them. And that's going to be forefront on my mind. Secondly, I'm going to use those gifts, firstly, within the church. This answers the where question. In 1 Corinthians 12:12, it says, the body is a unit, though it is made up of many parts, and though all its parts are many, they form one body. That's used in the context of these spiritual gifts. And what he's saying there is these spiritual gifts, he compares them to the different parts of a body. Some people, you know, the eyes see and the feet walk and the hands grasp and the livers and all of the different things do what they're supposed to do, but they function in unity with each other. They function within the confines of the body, and one doesn't function on its own. Your spiritual gifts are best empowered and best strengthened and best corralled within the confines of the local church, because here is where there are people with different gifts. Here is where that body plays itself out. Ephesians chapter 4, we've been looking there at Ephesians 4, and we looked in verse 11 about these different gifts, these different roles, but in verse 12 it says, it was he who gave some to be these different things, and then it says this, to prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up. First, are you using your gifts in the confines of the church? Now, that's not at all to say we don't use them outside of there. That is not what I'm saying. We use them at work. We use them in our neighborhoods. These things come out of us. In fact, they need to, so that when people say, wow, you are so good at that and you help me with it. Why? Well, because God is good to me. I mean, there are so many ways outside of the church where we can use these, and we need to, but they start here. They start here. My gifts need to be subject to yours and working alongside of yours so that the body of Christ may be built up, to prepare God's people for works of service. Are your gifts on display here in this family, in this body? I think it needs to start there. It is not for us to go off and we are not the Lone Ranger. We just aren't. Or we shouldn't be. We need each other. And your gifts, what you're good at, needs to be submitted to the people around you. One of the reasons is that any one of our gifts left to itself can become overblown, can become unwieldy, can become this huge, noxious thing. I have a very good friend who told me once, Rob, you teach when you shouldn't. And he was right. I like to teach. I think I'm good at it. I understand things and I like to explain them. That's great. Left to myself, I teach when I shouldn't. When people need compassion, what they get from me is teaching. Unless I'm next to a man or a woman who is filled with compassion, who has that gift, and together we're better. We need to use our gifts first within the confines of the church. Thirdly, recognize that you can grow and improve in your gifts. You can get better at them. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 14 and 15, Paul says this to Timothy, do not neglect your gift, which was given you through the prophetic message when the body of elders laid their hands on you. Instead, be diligent in these matters. Give yourself wholly to them so that everyone can see your progress. I think that God has given us skills and abilities, but we can work at them, and we can get better at them. That's one of the reasons why it's good to know what it is, so that, hey, I can cultivate this more. We can grow in our ability to use the gifts that God has given us. Paul says, don't neglect it. Instead, be diligent so that everyone can see you're getting better. Gosh, you're good at this. This is something that clearly God is using, but you're working at it, you're diligent at it, and you're getting better at it. I think that's a good thing to think about. And I have to admit that I haven't, how do I say this? I've been slow to this. That same friend who told me that I teach when I shouldn't also told me that, he said, Rob, you're a really good teacher. You could be a great teacher if you worked at it. And there was way too many years that I didn't take him up on that. The truth is that it's easy for me to get by on natural ability, and I think it is true for all of us. And these gifts are kind of that natural ability, something God has given you that's easy for you, that you're motivated to do. I apologize to you that I have not, the way that I should have anyhow, been diligent and gotten better at the things God has given me, just tried to get by or skated by on natural ability. Now, by God's grace, it's, well, here we are, let's go. But don't make the mistake that I did when I had the chance many years ago to be more diligent than I've been. I will be in the future by God's grace. But you can grow and improve in these things. Just because you're good at them, just because God's made you good at them, does not mean, well, there it is. That's no. Sometimes, no matter how good a lumberjack you are, you have to sharpen your axe once in a while. Finally, remember that your gifts are under your control. Your gifts are under your control. In 1 Corinthians 14, just a couple chapters, Paul is still talking about this idea of the church functioning and still talking about gifts. And in in 1 Corinthians 14, 32, he says, the spirits of prophets are subject to the control of prophets. Prophecy is one of those gifts that he talks about. And I think what we see there is if you have a gift from God, if the spirit in you is shining out, you're seeing something that you're good at, some function that you have, remember that that's under your control. It's not like it just, you know, Your gifts don't come out just whenever they want to in some strange way and you have no control of it. No, I think that it's good to remember that the spirit of the prophet, the gift inside of you, is under your control. That's what gives us the ability to do those things above it. Because my gift is under my control, I can be diligent. I can work and improve on it. Because it's under my control, I can choose where I focus that. Is it in the church or is it for my own benefit outside the church? Because it's under my control, I can say, God, I'm going to use it the way you want me to and why you want me to. Your gift that God has given you, that's something God has done, but then you need to respond because he's also given you, I think, a pretty large degree of control over it. And that's good to remember. All right. I'm going to take just a couple of minutes to address the thought of sign gifts, miracles, and healing. As we've read through these things, you know, we've seen that. There's the gifts of healing. There's the gift of miraculous powers, it says. And there is a question, I think, or when we talk about gifts, we get to that point. Well, what about some of the things that I see here? What about the gift of healing? What about the gift of miracles or miraculous powers? I want to just touch on it. I'm going to, we're not going to spend a ton of time on this, but I will say that when we're done here and you go get your food, if you would like to talk more, I'm going to bring my lunch here. And I sit down right here. And if you would like to talk more about that, you can bring your, I hope that's okay. Can we eat in here, Kim? We can eat in here. So I'm just going to sit here. If you have questions about what I'm going to share in a moment, feel free to bring your lunch in and we can talk about it a little more, okay? But I just want to address the idea of what perhaps are called the sign gifts, miracles and healing, specifically those two. Couple of things, they are certainly listed in the scriptures. It's clear that when I read some of those different lists of gifts or even roles, those things are listed in there, and that's 100% true. Another quick caveat is this. If you ask different godly people about this, you would get different answers. I know the pastor across the street, Kim, Pastor Kim. He's a great guy. I know him. I appreciate him. I respect him. I like him. in so many ways, he is a man who loves the gospel. And they plant churches around. They planted one in, I think it's Aliva. They planted one in Chippewa Falls. They're planting another one. I respect and admire that man. If you asked him the same question that I'm addressing now, you would get a different answer than what I'm going to tell you. I share that with you to let you know that there are differences of opinion about this, and that's okay. It's okay that we have differences of opinion about this. I'm going to share our understanding, and by ours I mean the pastors here at Cedar Creek. What's our understanding of the sign gifts? And just to a very summary idea of what our understanding of the sign gifts is this. We believe that the sign gifts are real, but we believe that they are used for specific times and specific purposes. Those gifts are for specific times and specific purposes. In Hebrews, this is a passage we've been looking at a little bit. We started with this in Hebrews chapter 2. I read verse 4 earlier, but I'll start in verse 3. It says, "This salvation, which was first announced by the Lord, was confirmed to us by those who heard him. God also testified to it by signs, wonders, and various miracles, and gifts of the Holy Spirit distributed according to his will." So, we see there the signs, the wonders, the miracles, gifts of the Spirit. So the Spirit was doing things through men and women at that time. But I think it says here what the specific purpose was or what the context of it was. What was happening? It says this salvation was first announced by the Lord. In other words, this was happening at a time when the new covenant of God was being introduced into the world. For thousands of years, God had interacted with the world through the nation of Israel, through the law of Moses, through the temple sacrifices, the temple worship. That was the old covenant. That was the covenant that God had with mankind, with humans. Now with Jesus is the new covenant. That's what Jesus said. There's a new covenant in my blood. Something is different. God is doing a new thing. When God did this new thing, it says what? It was confirmed, and God testified to that new thing by signs, wonders, various miracles, gifts of the Holy Spirit. So we believe that those gifts are real and are valid, but they're for specific times and for specific purposes. And Josiah, could you go to the next slide? This helps me. I'm sorry, one more. Did I have a... Nope. I'm sorry. Back up. I thought I had something in there that I don't have. I apologize. But it's basically this. We believe that these sign gifts were used to validate and attest to a new work of God. These sign gifts are used... Now you can go, Josiah. I'm sorry. I'm messing him up. Next slide. There you go. These sign gifts were used to validate and attest to a new work of God. 2 Corinthians, I'll just quickly read these verses. 2 Corinthians 12:22. Paul says this in 2 Corinthians 12:22. See, I get to this point and I just have a hard time reading. The things that mark an apostle, signs, wonders, and miracles were done among you with great perseverance. The things that mark an apostle. Apostle was what? A man who was going out and introducing this new gospel to places where it hadn't been before. So an apostle, by definition, was going into new places. Paul said that. I'm going to go where the gospel has never been heard before. And because there's a work of God happening in a place that it's never been heard before, what's going to happen? Well, these things are going to attest to the marks of an apostle. Signs, wonders, and miracles were done because it was God attesting to a new thing. Acts chapter 2. Verse 22 says something very, very similar when it's talking about Jesus. It says, "Men of Israel, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs." Jesus was accredited. In other words, he was shown to be who he was. His credentials were shown because it was a new thing. Who is this carpenter from Galilee? Well, he's just, you know, there's so many preachers out there. Yeah, but this guy's different. Did you see what he did? God accredited Jesus to the world by these signs, these wonders, these gifts. And it's happened that way throughout God's history. In Deuteronomy 6, verse 22, when God is talking to the nation of Israel about when he took them out of Egypt, it says, "Before our eyes, the Lord sent miraculous signs and wonders, great and terrible, upon Egypt and Pharaoh and his whole household." That was a new thing as well. Israel had been in slavery in Egypt for 400 years, and now God says, "I'm going to redeem you. Something new has happened. I'm going to bring you out of this place to the promised land." It was brand new. Generations had gone by under one way, and now God is doing something new. So he attested to it. He validated it. Moses could do things that made people, wait a minute, that must be what God is saying. So we see these sign gifts for specific times and purposes to validate and attest to a new work of God. Perhaps an analogy would be this. If you're familiar with auto mechanics, some aren't. But when you turn the key on your car, there's a little motor down in the depths of your engine. It's called the starter. And the starter, when you turn the key, the starter starts to work. What the starter does is it gets the whole engine going. And then the engine will catch, right? You know what it's like when you turn the key on your car, and then it's going, and then you let the key go, and the starter turns off. When you're driving your car down the road, the starter is not doing anything. It doesn't keep running while your car is driving. The only time you use the starter is when you start the car. Now, when you're driving down the road, you don't, you know, go underneath there and take the starter out. It's still there. Because there's going to come a time when you need it again. There's going to become a time and a place when you got to start your car again. But while you're driving the car, the starter is not doing something. Perhaps that's an example of what these sign gifts are like. There are times and places where God uses these gifts to start something new. Once that thing is going, those gifts don't necessarily disappear, but they're not, you just don't see them. They're not being used so much, like the starter in your car. One more quick thing about this. This is different. What we're talking about is different than God doing miracles, than God healing people. God can reach down on his own volition and heal. God can and does do that. God can and does reach down into our physical world on his own volition and change it, make things happen that shouldn't happen. God is completely capable, apart from us, completely willing, and he does, I think, do miracles and healings in our midst. But that's not what we're talking about here. What we're talking about is the gift given to a man or woman to be able to do that, and I think they're different things. Again, because a gift given to a person means that that's under my control now. If God heals, well, of course that's under his control. Of course he can do that. But for me to have the gift of healing, if I understand the gifts right, means that now I can do that. And it's under my control, and I can heal at my volition, not God's volition. I don't see that in the world. I see God doing miracles. I don't see men and women with the ability all on their own, completely under their control, to walk up and to heal. Certainly we saw that at different times and places in the Bible. Absolutely, that's happened. If I understand the world right, there are places in the world where that is happening. But it's because I believe that God is doing something there. The gospel is coming in a new way, and so men and women have those gifts. Here it's different. At least that's our understanding of it. If you have different thoughts about that, I'm eating my hot dish right here. I don't know where Mark and Justin are going to be. You can come grab us. But you've been given a gift of the Spirit. I would encourage you to remember that it's good to know what it is. If you want one of these, or if you want to just come and talk to one of the pastors, please, please do so. There are three. I have one. There's two back there. There's more coming. Understand what your gift is. God wants to express his work and his character through you to show his glory, to bless the people around you in the church and outside of the church. we can be diligent in these matters. Honor God, serve the people around us through the gifts of the Spirit that we have within us. Let's pray. Father, I just thank you that I believe all this to be true. God, you live in each of us if we've accepted you, Jesus, as our Savior. And you make us different. You make us alive. And you distribute your gifts to us, to each one of us. You're expressing who you are through us. We're yours. I am God's. And here's one of the ways that changes my life. He's made me good at things, and I can use these things to glorify him and to bless the people around me. I just pray, God, that we would be a place where we understand that and we lean into that, Lord. Help us to know what our gifts are. Help us to use them the way that you want, the places you want, to bless and to serve each other. Thank you for that, Lord. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Don't